Hello, it's Matt, and this is a Proud Podcast. How do we identify talent in an organisation? I've previously written and spoken about how to find talent in organisations, and this podcast episode gives some additional insights gained from listening to a Radio 4 programme, Analysis, which explored the idea of identifying talent. The programme was a while ago, but there are a variety of ideas and thoughts that I wanted to share with you. It is an interesting ongoing dilemma of how to nurture and recruit the high achievers that make up 20% of your people and produce 80% of your results, while at the same time still ensuring the remaining 80% still feel engaged and that their unique talents are being developed. When I worked for a large IT corporate, I was a good conscientious support technician, but I wasn't exceptional. When I had a one-off opportunity to become a masterclass champion and start developing myself, I then discovered my real talents were learning and development. Skill sessions, talks, executive coaching, and coaching people to publicly speak are my real niche skills. These are extremely rare at the company and would have been highly valuable to their client base. Unfortunately for the company, they never identified these talents while I was there. HR naively pigeonholed me as a support technician and not a talented L&D guy. A massive mistake in untapped resources. So I'm just curious, what opportunities are you creating in your teams and organisations to identify untapped valuable skills? Missing talent is unfortunately very common, not only in our organisations, but also in our schools. Here are three examples of people whose later life success was not predicted while at school. When I was at school, they had never heard of dyslexia. They just thought I was stupid. And I actually left school at 15 because I was hopeless at school and started a magazine to give young people a chance to have a voice and campaign on issues they felt strongly about. Do you know who that was? I'll tell you in a moment. Person number two. I hated school. They assumed I was being lazy because I was so smart in other ways. There were things I could do. I could remember things. So they knew I wasn't dumb, they just thought I was being lazy. Something was different about me. And number three, person number three. I remember my special needs group at school. You know, special needs, bottom group, and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, I always could cook already at that stage, so I didn't really care about that negativity that was going on in my life. So person number one that set up the magazine, that's Richard Branson, billionaire businessman. Number two, the one that hated school, that was Whoopi Goldberg, an American actress, comedian, author and television host. And she's one of the few entertainers who has also won an Emmy Award, a Grammy Award, an Oscar and a Tony Award. And the last person, so-called special needs group, Jamie Oliver, TV chef and entrepreneur. So despite what many people may think, grading and IQ tests at schools and in the workplace are not accurate indicators of future work success. So what else could we use? The Grit Scale. I believe this has been developed by Angela Duckworth of the University of Pennsylvania, and she has developed this grit scale, which she believes is more important than IQ when predicting talent. My understanding is that the more grit you have, the more likely you will succeed in the context you are working in. In a nutshell, she describes grit as the combination of having incredible passion for long-term goals of meaningful personal significance, and the perseverance to go with it. Also, caring about something and committing to it, and working very hard towards making that goal a reality. I think the grit scale could be a useful additional tool when exploring our team's skill sets and also when recruiting. Recruitment and talent. From the Radio 4 programme, they suggested that decades of research seems to have shown that the typical unstructured interview is a poor predictor of performance. So I think that when a recruitment firm wants 25 to 30% of the candidate's first year salary and only a month clawback, then employers really need to ensure they are accurately identifying talent during the recruitment process. Some would agree that the best way to assess a candidate for a job role is a work sample test. For example, if it is an accountant role, get them to look over a sample P&L and forecasts. If it is a computer programmer role, then get them to program some code and also add in some intentional bugs for them to fix. In addition to this, look at their general cognitive ability and their capacity to grow in the role. Also on this Radio 4 programme was Geraldine Haley, and here are some of her thoughts on interviewing, in particular when she worked at Standard Chartered Bank. The interview process is imperfect, but could be improved by training and structure. She commented that your job as the interviewer is not to look into a crystal ball and use your intuition to see into the future and wonder what they will be like. Your job is to be like a forensic investigator and get the candidates to tell stories about experiences in the past and how they tackled them, to get hard evidence, to understand their values, beliefs, habits, and strengths. This is a hard thing to do. More than talent or expertise is how people behaved, and in particular, how their behaviour was aligned with the company values. They always checked cultural fit above technical ability through a variety of means, including panel interviews. Recruiting artificially intelligently. A possibly cheaper and faster alternative that people are looking at is artificial intelligence to filter and select candidates. But the former people's operations person at Google didn't think that was the answer. The downside is that the way most machine learning works is that you take a data set that is fed into a machine, input all the high performers into the system, and then it will filter on those characteristics such as education they had, areas they lived, etc. However, one significant problem is that it lacks diversity. You'll get more of the same, but real innovation comes from diverse ideas and experiences. So what did Google do when growing from 5,000 employees to 50,000 employees? The former people's operations person at Google that spoke on this Radio 4 programme said that whether the candidate knew anything about the job they were taking on was the least of the attributes required in someone, which I think for many of us is quite surprising. He went on to explain the five characteristics that Google looked specifically for in their new hirers, and these were: number one, humility. Number two, conscientious, which is a sense of responsibility to continue until a job is done well. Number three, comfort with ambiguity. Number four, a sense of fun. And number five, courage to raise one's voice. The importance of this is that when organisations get large, then people stop raising their voices and there is the possibility of unethical and risky things happening. As humans, we have fundamentally evolved biologically as social hierarchy-seeking animals, and we tend to want to conform. In an organisation, the really creative, innovative ideas come from, "I've got this great idea." And at the same time, there needs to be people that have the courage to put their hand up when they see possible dangers and wave a red flag and say, I don't think that's a good idea. So, to summarise this podcast episode, we started with missing talent that was already in an organisation. I gave a very brief exploration of grit, which seems to be a method to predict longer-term success. When it comes to recruitment, the importance of work-based tests and aligning values and understanding the key characteristics in a future employee. As you may agree, this podcast episode contains an assortment of ideas for a leader to be aware of, and which I trust will help you in growing your teams. Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode with me, Matthew Greenhead. If you have enjoyed this episode, then feel free to pass this on to those that you care about by sharing it on whatever platform you're using to listen to this. You can find out more about me and read some of my blog at www.matthewgroomhead.co.uk. I wish you all the success you're prepared to work for, and I'll see you on the next podcast. Take care and stay safe.